Amen. Hallelujah. Let's turn to the Word of God. Let's open to John chapter 15, and we'll have the brothers read verse 4 and the sisters read verse 5. Remember, as we're reading, God is speaking to us. Okay, brothers, go.
Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you, unless you abide in me.
I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
Amen. So we need to be impressed, as the brother shared in the previous message, that God is the Word. When we come to the Word, we come to God Himself. And I would even say that this message is a continuation of the previous message on musing on the Word. And this is because as we're enjoying the Lord, as the vine, who is the source of the life, there needs to be a place for that life to get deposited into and a channel and a means for that life to come out of in order to produce something that is of life. And what does a branch produce ultimately? Fruit. It's a manifestation of the riches of the life. And I wanted to read the first part of John 15:7 to you. It says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you." So we need to realize that our abiding in the Lord is to abide also in His Word, because His Word is just the vine Himself. And I'm really glad the brother spoke in the previous message on musing on the Word. When you muse on the Word becomes rich, rich, very full to you. And I've heard some saints come to me in the past, or I heard some fellowship And a brother would ask some of these saints, like, well, what does the Lord say to you in these circumstances? Does the Lord only speak a no to you? Or does the Lord also speak a yes to you? But does the Lord speak anything other than a yes or no? Well, if the Lord is just speaking only yeses and nos to you, He may be speaking to you, but He's not speaking to you in a very rich way. The more we're in the Word, the more of the life in the Word that we're enjoying, the more riches we will be experiencing, and the more riches we'll have even to give to others. So let's read Roman numeral 1 together. What does bearing fruit depend on?
Riches abiding within us.
How about the saints over here? What does bearing fruit depend on?
The riches of life within us.
So it depends on the riches of life that's been deposited into you through your enjoyment of the Lord, especially and particularly in the Word. Because only when the Word is in you, do you have something to say. When you speak words. And if you have the words of the Lord in you, then you have a lot of words, a lot of riches to speak to others. And I really like the example, Brad and I were having fellowship earlier, the example of the cow chewing the cud. Okay, so we're the cow. We're chewing the grass. Christ is our pasture. We're enjoying Him. We're enjoying all the riches that's in the pasture. Then the grass passes through a digestive process. But ultimately, that grass not only nourishes the cow, but that grass also leads to the production of milk. Who is the beneficiary of the milk? In the cow illustration, who is the beneficiary of a calf? The young, right? So we enjoy the grass and we produce something. That is the milk. That is the riches. There's a lot of riches in the milk for the young calves to receive and to be nourished and to grow. So we need to have the view that also our enjoyment of the Lord and of his riches is not only for our own nourishment, our own satisfaction, but something gets produced. Amen. There's some riches now in our being. Amen. And these riches, they have to go somewhere. And they have to be transferred. And actually, when you're transferring those riches into the young, that's where the joy comes. There's so much joy from God coming out of your being. Amen. Life coming out of your being. Amen. And getting into someone else. And then you see them grow also in the life. Okay. When the branches receive a life supply of the life juice, they bear fruit as the overflow of the inner life supply. So here I'd like to call Brother Andres. He has a testimony in regards to the enjoyment of the sufficient supply of the life juice, especially through the Word.
Hello. My name is Andres, and I just graduated UC Irvine, and I plan to go to the training in August.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You got to say that again, brother.
I plan to go to the training in
say
August.
Your introduction again, with your spirit.
My name is Andres. I just graduated UC Irvine, and I plan to go to the training in August.
Amen.
Can I put this here?
Sure.
So I was asked to share about fruit bearing. And in the beginning, I was kind of hesitant because I just consider myself just another brother in the club. So last year, Irvine Christian Students, we went to Ohio for a gospel trip. And there was two brothers that I was close to. We were companions, Johnny and Robinson. We were super close, humanly, you know. But we really wanted to take this opportunity to get more built up and in a spiritual way, you know, deeper. So we went, and one of the most memorable parts of this trip was preaching the gospel on the different campuses. And I was paired up with Robinson, and we were preaching the gospel like crazy. It was really fun, you know, just sharing about the Lord. And so the trip ended, and Robinson and I, we had a serious conversation about our campus, you know. Why haven't we been doing this on our campus, you know? If it's so easy to go to other campuses and it's fun and all, what about our campus?
Yeah.
So after that, we picked up the burden to preach the gospel on campus. At the start of the year, Johnny Robinson and I, we started living with a family in Irvine, the Martinez's. So it's kind of like the brother's house, but with the saints. We began to read the Bible together on campus, at home, on our way to campus, everywhere. Amen. It was really fun, you know. As the year began, we started meeting up with different freshmen, you know, and new ones. But specifically, there was this brother, Richie. He also came here to the college training, but he had to leave for health reasons. But he came, and Johnny Robinson and I, we were gained off campus, so we weren't church kids or anything. Richie really he really connected with us because we had the same background, you know. We were gained off campus, and we were really new to everything. So he just jumped right in, you know. And we took him in, and we connected him with the brothers and with the saints and everyone, you know. But one of the more crucial things one of the more crucial things that we needed for caring for Richie was our time in the Word, because if we weren't in the Word, then we would have nothing to share with Richie or with anyone, you know, with the saints. Anyways, there are three points that I wanted to leave you guys with when caring for new ones and for yeah. And the first one is presenting your bodies, you know. It is really easy to make excuses, you know. We all know that. But we have to say amen to the word of God, you know. Amen. The word says present your bodies a living sacrifice. So we must be there at the meetings, you know. And it's hard, you know, because we get busy. There are internships and jobs and everything, you know. But for you guys that are upperclassmen, these lowerclassmen, whether you like it or not, they look up to us, you know. They look up to the older saints and the full-timers, you know. But us juniors and seniors, we have a special portion for them, you know. My second point is remain in the Bible, you know, in the Word. Through this, you can actually have something to flow out to them, you know. My third point is lean on the body, you know. Be constant in inviting them to the home meetings, you know, because in the homes is where the full supply of the Lord is, you know. We need to learn to depend on other saints, the other brothers and the other sisters, because we cannot do it on our own, you know. We're going to get tired or fail or you know, we've all been there. It's all I have. Amen.
Just one more question on this.
Yes, sir.
What was your personal time with the Lord like when you were having contact with these freshmen?
It had to be up there because I was with them like the whole week. And I had to be in the Bible because Richard was a brother that always asked me, you know, mm-hmm. Okay, Andres, what did you read today? What do you have for me? I was like, oh, this guy. So I had to be in it, you know, and amen. If I wasn't, then that was really bad.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. That's good. So I just wanted to highlight a couple things. First of all, Andres, he was abiding in the Lord. And this abiding in the Lord, practically what it looks like is spending time in the Word. He was going through the Bible. He told me he even read through like 5 books of the Bible within a short time frame. So he was getting constituted. He was getting filled with the riches. And another point was he was having a time with the Lord. And having this time with the Lord also gives you the life supply, the life energy, the life strength, and even the life riches to minister into the freshman that he was with. Okay. Let's read the second Roman numeral together. So to give an illustration of this, I've never, ever in my life had to beg an orange tree to make oranges and to produce oranges. An orange tree will always produce oranges because there is a law regulating its life and a law regulating its nature. It will always do what it is regulated by God to do, and that is to produce oranges. In the same way, we don't have to do anything miraculous. We don't have to plan necessarily such a huge event. We don't have to do so many things in order to gain fruit. Rather, it is normal. When you're normally enjoying the riches of the Lord, something will come out. Something will manifest. Those who have obviously more experience and time, something will manifest a little bit more. But because we all have the life capacity, so long as we're enjoying the riches, something will come out. And something of life will get into someone else. And another point I wanted to cover here is that when we're just enjoying the Lord, you know, outwardly, we may be doing a lot of human things. Like, I know the brothers like to play basketball. I know students in my locality, they really like to play Frisbee. Well, just to be clear, we're not planning a Frisbee event to gain people. But we're just doing these things because we're enjoying the Lord and we're doing very normal human things. But sometimes the life within us will manifest itself with, oh, maybe I should invite someone to come play Frisbee with me. Maybe I should invite this person to come join me. Life will manifest itself that way because life has a care for someone else and someone else to be gained for the sake of the vine tree. So just wanted to cover that. There's a difference there. Don't plan a Frisbee game with the intention to gain lots of people for the Lord, but rather go ahead and have the Frisbee game. But if there's a life prompting from within your spirit, hey, I should invite my friend to come to this time and join us, then when you're playing, there might be a chance after the game or even during the game, something of the riches that you've been enjoying that day will come out through your speaking to your friend. Okay, let's read point number A together under Roman numeral 2. Not miraculous, very normal. And I want to call two brothers up, Andy and James, to give you an illustration of what and how normal it is.
Praise the Lord for fruit bearing.
Amen.
So I'd like to just start off my sharing with John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches.
Amen.
He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing.
Amen.
So, I don't know if you all remember, but I came up last year with a couple other brothers sharing on how a vital group can bear fruit as well. And we were sharing about a brother whom we were caring for. And actually, this brother that we were caring for is standing right next to me, enjoying the Lord with us at the college training.
Amen.
So I met James. This is James. I met him in... Oh, sorry. So I'm Andy. I will be entering my third year, and I'm going to be going to Cal State Fullerton. And so I met James in high school, and we actually had a class together, but we were just friends, and we were just talking class, and we didn't really hang out after class or anything. And after high school, we kind of just parted ways, but we ended up on the same community college campus in Irvine Valley College, and we got reconnected through a sister who is also meeting in the club. So through that, we reconnected in the Bible studies and all the club events, and it was just really good to reconnect with him. So after that, so this is in my experience, when he felt, so I didn't really go out to get him, but he kind of just came to us, you know, and he just came to the club. And in my experience of fruit bearing for James, I didn't really feel like I was doing much work, but I was really just abiding in the vine. And I was just in the enjoyment of the Lord.
Amen.
So, so in my, you know, like I said, I wasn't trying to do much work. So I wasn't trying to, you know, set up tons of appointments or trying to get him to read such ministry or, you know, tell him, oh, you have to, you know, have more revival every single day in order for you to press on. But it was just something very natural because I was just constantly in the enjoyment of the Lord.
Amen.
And even just, you know, just outward things after, you know, as time went by and we kept hanging out more and being with the brothers more, you know, even through our, you know, through reading the Bible or just going to play basketball or, you know, just different activities, there was a life that was ministered to James.
Amen.
Even through such normal activities where it was even outside of the meetings.
Amen.
And in the reading yesterday of fruit bearing, we read in our group times that gospel preaching, I think it's also in part of Roman numeral 1, but it's not, gospel preaching is not a teaching or preaching, but it is the ministering of life to you, that is to others, that is within you.
Amen.
So this life has to be within you first.
Amen.
So that means that you have to be abiding in the vine and be connected to the vine as a branch.
Amen.
And so like I said, this growth in life within James, it wasn't miraculous. I wasn't praying for a miracle. I wasn't praying for him to be in the Lord's table that following week. But I just let the growth in life do its thing. And I just let the vine, you know, supply the life to me as a branch so I could bear fruit.
Amen.
So ultimately, my experience would be, my experience to share with you all is to say that we have to abide in the vine in order to bear fruit.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So my name is James, and I go to IVC. It's my fourth year, and I'm studying nursing. So a little background about myself is I grew up in a Catholic family. Since I was little, we would go to church. We would go every Sunday. We would not miss a Sunday. But we would, all I do is sit, stand, kneel, and nothing. There's no game. I would just go there because my mom told me so. So I was in high school, and I met Andy, Zion, and Vin, and they were, like, very attractive people. Like, I mean, like, they're very nice, and they're very nice, and they were, like, very fun to be with. So I just really enjoyed their company every single time I saw them. And when I graduated high school, I went to a community college, and they were there. And when I got to the community college, one of my old friends from high school told me, "Hey, those guys are in a Bible club, and they practice really weird. You should watch out for them." So I was like, "All right, I'll watch out for them." But the sister brought me to the Bible club, and I really enjoyed it. I really enjoy that we can come together as one, right? And so I was going to the Bible study, like, I was just actually going there that first year just because of these guys. Because I, in community college, you go in, you go out, you go home. That's it. Yeah. You have no friends, or you don't make that much friends. And so that year passed on, and then for my winter break, I went to the Philippines. And before I went to the Philippines, something Satan did really bad to me, and then it kind of hurt me, and it kind of, like, I wanted to step away from the Bible club, and I was like, "All right, I'm gonna go to the Philippines. It was really tough because I was traveling by myself. So Satan was just attacking me left and right, and I couldn't do anything. And then when I got to the Philippines, I wanted to stay there because I just wanted to run away from my problems. But my mom said, "Just go back. Everything's gonna be all right." So I got back here. And the brothers just kept, they texted me. They're like, "Hey, what are you doing? I heard you're back. Let's hang out. Let's play basketball. Let's do this." So at first I was like, "No, it's going to bring back bad memories. And maybe I shouldn't. I'm still, like, kind of depressed and sad." So they just kept pursuing me. And so I was like, "All right, I'll go hang out with them." So I was hanging out with them, and I really just enjoyed it. They didn't force anything to me. They didn't say, "Hey, read this Bible, read this." But I'm like a very curious person. I ask a lot of questions. So I asked them, "So what do you guys do? Like, what do you do on Friday nights?" Because, you know, like, I didn't do anything on Friday nights. I would hang out, watch a movie or something. But they were like, "Oh, we go to this home meetings." So I was like, "Oh, I want to go to a home meeting." So Vin brought me to a home meeting, and then, well, right when I walked in, there was this little girl who I coached swimming. She was there, and then when I walked in, she was like, "Hi, Coach James," and I was like, "Where am I?" And then so I really, like, being in there just felt like I was home.
Amen.
It felt like a family. Amen. So I really appreciated that. And so I really enjoyed all the dispensing that all the saints was doing to me, and, like, I just want to overflow. But I felt like the Satan was still attacking me left and right. So I decided to meet with some full-timers. And these full-timers, we would meet once a week. But there's two of them, so I would meet with two full-timers a week and then go to a home meeting. And while I was reading with them, I was like, "I just want more. I just want more. I just want to gain more because I don't know what I'm doing, like, what's my purpose?" And in the Bible study that we were doing at IVC, I learned that we are a vessel, that we are supposed to be, we are filled with the Lord.
Amen.
And I was like, "I don't think I'm filled with the Lord. I need to be filled with Him."
Amen.
So we would meet twice a week, and I said, "Bro, I need more, I need more." Amen. And then, so this brother Sam handed me my very first Bible, and it had the footnotes. And I really appreciated that because I was like, "Okay, I'm going to read my Bible when I get home." I read the Bible. I didn't understand what it meant. I didn't know how to use the footnotes. And then I came to one of the brothers. I think it was Vin. I was like, "Vin, how do you use this?" So he taught me how to use the footnotes. So I really appreciate that. I read the Bible. And then some things just still doesn't make sense. And then I asked Sam again. I was like, "Sam, what do I need to do?" He said, "Maybe listening to the life studies will help." So after I read a chapter, and if I don't understand it, I go to the life study, I listen to it, it's about 30 minutes, and it just, like, all the things that I don't understand just make sense.
Amen.
And the Lord was just speaking to me. So I really appreciated that. So, and then during that time, I was like, I read about how we need to receive the Lord and get baptized.
Amen.
Right? And I was like, I want to get baptized. I want to get out of the worldly things. Amen. So the brothers and I were praying about me getting baptized. And we were just reading the verses every single week about being baptized. What does it mean? Right? And I really appreciated that. So I asked some full-timers to help me. I asked some trainees to help me. I just want more of the Lord. So after I got baptized, it felt amazing. I felt like I was in cloud nine. But after that, like a week passed by, a month passed by, and then Satan just kept attacking me. I said, "What is going on? Why is he still attacking me?" And then the saints were like, "Just call on the Lord. He will lead you to his way, to his path, to his goal." And I was like, I want his goal. So the trainers told me about having a personal time with the Lord. And I never had that before. So I was like, okay, what is it like? So I just tried it. And then the Lord just overflowed in me. We would go to Bible studies. And then they would tell me, hey, there's a college meeting this Saturday. You should come if you're available. And I was like, all right, come in. We should carpool, though, because, yeah. And then one of the things I learned in the college meetings is you need to be present. If you're not present, you're not going to get anything, right? If you sign up for a class and you don't go to class, you won't learn anything, right? So if you're in the club and if you don't go to the club, you won't get anything. So I decided to put myself in the meetings so I can absorb the Lord. I want more of the Lord.
Amen.
Just to wrap it up, so this is my fourth year in IVC, and it's a community college. Some of you might think, oh, he's still in a community college. But I'm studying nursing, and my mom didn't really want me to come here because I'm supposed to be done a semester early if I don't come here, if I take a summer class. But my mom was. But then I decided, you know what? I'm for the Lord. The Lord Amen. Is my goal.
Amen.
And it might take me an extra semester, but it's okay. Amen. The Israelites took 40 years to get to the good land. Yeah. It's okay for me to postpone it a semester. Amen. So I really enjoy that, and I'm happy to be here. Amen. And I just want to keep gaining the Lord, see the Lord, and blend with every one of you guys. Thank Amen. You so much.
Amen.
Amen.
James, one more thing. You have a burden now, right?
Amen.
I believe it's for your family?
Yeah, my mom, my brother, and my sister are now saved. So, yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. So I just wanted to highlight a few points here. I also believe that Andy and Vin and a couple other brothers, they were all praying for James before they would actually contact him. So it was out of that contacting with the Lord, that abiding with him, something not miraculous came out, but it was very normal. Something of the life in those brothers wanted to contact James, wanted to bring him in also into enjoyment. So anyways, it's not miraculous. As you saw, that was very normal in the whole process. The way life works and the riches of the life work are just very normal. Amen. Okay, let's read the next three points together. Let's do brothers 1, sisters 2, and then all together on number 3. Amen. Whoa, whoa, whoa. One more time. Let's read it in a way of really absorbing. Amen.
We need to abide in the Lord and absorb his supply.
Amen.
We need to abide in the Lord and absorb the supply of God the Father as the soil that provides the nutrients and the supply of the Spirit as the rain that waters and refreshes.
We need to abide in the Lord and absorb God.
Amen. Amen. Just wanted to highlight three more points in relation to the outline for our own experience and our own learning. When we see the need there to abide in the Lord and absorb his supply, we can say we need to remain in the Word and muse on the Word. Okay, and then the second point, we need to abide in the Lord and receive the supply of the Father, of the Spirit. There we can say, how we know we receive the supply and the nutrients is that by the time we're done spending a time musing on the Word or spending a time with the Lord, there's an inward feeling of refreshing. And there's an inward feeling that, wow, I feel like I can start my day now. I feel like I can really go on. I receive something from the Lord. I've been energized. And in three, abide in the Lord, absorb God as our light, and Spirit as our air. So if we're in the Word, abiding in the Word, remaining in the Word, absorbing God in the Word, then we should have also some enlightenment. Something should shine in our being. Something should shine, even cause us to have a realization. I need to confess for something. This is what it means to get some light. And also to have the Spirit as our air. It's that at, by the end of that time, you just feel like you've breathed in a breath of fresh air. Just like when you breathe out a lot, or exhale a deep breath, and you breathe in a very deep breath, this should be that same kind of feeling inwardly in your being. You breathe a lot out, but also you breathe in a lot of God, and you feel very refreshed.
Okay, let's read four. Did we already read that? Okay, I'm sorry, let's read C. And let's read D.
As long as we labor according to this law, it will be very easy to bring people to the Lord.
And then we like to call up Stephen for this point, Stephen Kwan. And then during these testimony times, if you're called to the mic, the most important thing is to do what?
Exercise your spirit.
Exercise your spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Before I start, I was just wanted to share something that one of the saints in Knoxville actually shared with me. And I was always impressed that I need to bear fruit. Otherwise, I don't want to be cut off from the enjoyment of God.
Amen.
But she shared with me that bearing fruit is actually a corporate matter.
Amen.
And so, anyways, my name is Stephen Kwan. I'm originally from Irvine, California. I went to Knoxville, Tennessee for school, and I actually just graduated, like Andres. I'm going to the full-time training.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so in Knoxville, I really did have a feeling to, I had a peace, and I had the Lord's arrangement for me to go there for school. And when I got there, it was only me and another brother and about 15 or 20 saints who were there. A few families, but they're all very burdened for the gospel and very very burdened for the campus there. And so I guess my church life there was very simple. I felt that I was just cherished by all the saints who were there, and I was really resting in the homes. And so, and my experience of fruit bearing there was a little less of an individual way and more of a corporate way. And so me and this other brother, we eventually became very close companions, and we began to pray. We prayed for our campus, prayed for full-timers, prayed for families, and actually later on all those prayers were answered by the Lord.
Amen.
And so we were praying for some fruit, for some fish on the campus. And so there is this brother, his name is Jonathan, and just came to the table, and he's like, I want to meet with you guys. And so he just kind of fell in our lap. I don't really know how it really happened, but eventually he was just there, and he wanted to come to all the Bible studies. And our Bible studies were really small at that time, and even the Lord's table, which in the South, I don't think is a very, very small thing to come to. I felt that he was a son of peace to
Amen.
Us, and he was an answer to a lot of prayers.
Amen.
And my portion, I remember feeling at the time, I don't have the capacity to shepherd this one, to give him the divine truths, to share what God's economy is to him. But my portion, I felt was, I could do, was just bring him to the homes, which I was built up with in already.
Amen.
And so I felt like the saints were the supply of life and
Amen.
The source of life.
Amen.
And I was just kind of the channel to bring him there. Mm-hmm. And so it was very, very normal and very, very small, mm-hmm. a very small part. Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, if I wasn't there, if me and the other brother weren't there, who would bring him to the homes, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it was very much of a corporate effort to shepherd this one.
Amen.
And so eventually he came to the college conferences. He was going to come to a college training but couldn't make it. He came on our spring break trip, and he's still meeting with us today.
Amen. Amen. Very good. Thank you, Stephen. So, you know, I asked Stephen, you know, because Stephen was just wondering how it all happened. And, you know, who's to say how it happened? But anyways, I think a consistent theme here just with these brothers in general is, you know, it's just so important to spend that personal time with the Lord, where whenever we touch the Lord and we touch his feeling, ultimately the Lord is going to bring us to this matter of fruit bearing, because it's the Lord himself is burdened for people. And then eventually we realize there needs, you know, anyways, through that supply we receive from the Lord, you know, we could do something in cooperation with the inward feeling that we have from the Lord. And so I'd actually like to read you all from this portion of verse in Revelation. This is Revelation 3:8. Listen closely. I know your works, the Lord says to the church in Philadelphia. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power. Amen. If you have a little power, say amen.
Amen.
Do you have a little power?
Amen.
We have a little power.
Amen.
And have kept my word and have not denied my name.
Amen.
There's a small footnote on that little portion on that word, little power. So little power. Listen to this. Those who have a little power, this is for you. So to have a little power, this indicates that what pleases the Lord is not our doing much for him, but our doing our best for him with what we have. It's not our doing much for him, but our doing our best for him with what we have. You know what? Many times what that looks like, you're a student on the campus, you might have an internship, you have a challenging major, you're involved with the church life, you study, and in addition to that, you invite someone to a home meeting. And maybe that's it. Maybe the Lord just touches you to primarily invite someone to a home meeting. And you know what? That's okay. If that's what the Lord is prompting, if that's what the Lord is touching, and you weren't the person who was involved with every aspect of that person coming into the church life, that's okay. You know, we are those who have a little power. Amen. The Lord actually is not asking us to do so much if we check in our experience. I think many times we put this huge burden of fruit bearing on us, when really what it looks like is maybe we just need to invite some people to the home. And actually what happened, and I think in Stephen's experience, Stephen mentioned to us, is that, you know, and he mentioned at the mic, you know, he didn't feel so capable, which is okay, of sharing so many different things. And I'm sure at a certain point in his life, Stephen will. We hope he will. I believe he will, especially going to the training, him and Andres, right? There will come a time when, you know, the Lord will definitely lay that burden upon them. But in his experience, it was just to invite someone to the home. And in Stephen's words, he said, where there is the source of life. Really what he meant was there's some older saints there. Maybe those saints have had some training, been in a church life for a number of years, constituted with the truth. And I believe there weren't any full-timers, right? There was no full-timers. So these saints were all working, and they're burdened for the campus. But they themselves, how effective do you think they would be if they go in there and step on the campus? Probably not effective. There was 20 of them there before Stephen and this other brother showed up. So obviously, even though the saints are there, they're not able to be so effective in contacting the students directly. But they're burdened. And I bet you if a student shows up in front of them, they have a lot to say. But you know what they need? Somebody to invite them. Someone with a little power to render a little cooperation with the Lord. To just invite someone to a home meeting. To make a friend. and to invite them to a home where you get them in front of some saints, and it's not going to be like this, but who are burdens for these students. And I guarantee you will render some supply of life. And obviously they're there because they want to be with another student, because birds of a feather, they like to flock together. And actually this could be a little bit of a problem sometimes, but birds of a feather do like to flock together, and they show up because they want to be together with you where you're going. And then where you're going, there happens to be this saint who has some riches of Christ, who wouldn't have had that opportunity unless you invited them. And so I wanted to read, I want to read another verse related to this to you. Well, basically in Ephesians, there's this word, it's perfecting, right? For the perfecting of the saints unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. And this word perfecting, it means equipping or supplying one another's function. So when you show up, when Stephen showed up with this young man, Jonathan, to this home, guess what happened to the older saints who were there? Their function was supplied because this new student was there. And the opportunity to minister Christ in a capacity that they might not have had to answer questions that might have been difficult for Stephen and others in college to answer, that opportunity was made available. And there's this beautiful coordination where really God's the only one who's getting the glory. And in fruit bearing, that's what it should look like. It's not, oh, I did everything, I got this fruit bearing badge, and I get all the glory. Actually, if you read John 15, who gets the glory? To the glory of God the Father. He's not looking for you to do so much. Just a little power. The point says, render a little certain amount of cooperation. And you know what? Things begin to happen. The Lord just might put before you an open door, which no man could shut. And you have a little power. And because you're not seeking to do something for yourself, the Lord is able to bless. And there's an opportunity. And on that note, I'd just like to mention something about Germany. The brothers presented this in the full, just this last semi-annual training, where there's actually a lot of saints, there's a good number of saints, I don't know how many, who are there in Germany, and they're strategically located around college campuses, and they had this whole presentation about, you know, how students can apply and, you know, to go to these college campuses and how it equates with a top 200 school or whatever in the world. They have some schools there, and everything's in place, and all they need is for some students to show up. And the brother said, you can be useful in Germany if you know how to go and just make a friend. Just make a friend and invite them to someone's home. Invite them to the barbecue. So really, the Lord really is not asking us many times for so much. I feel like this burden, you know, burden, this burden of fruit bearing is like looming over us. We're like, how am I ever going to bear fruit? Just go make a friend. Invite them to a home meeting. It's really not that much. And the Lord has an opportunity to do something. So anyways, I just wanted to mention that. Point three says, we need to abide in the Lord in order to bear much fruit. So what do we need to do? Abide in the Lord. And in that abiding, there might be some prompting from the Lord, some initiating. I don't know what that is. You know, we can be up here. We can exhort you to do certain things. And what you should do is you should take those things back to the Lord. And the Lord might say to you, well, you know what? I don't want that much from you. I just want a little from you. Just go back and do this one little thing. And it might be you're in class, and then suddenly you have a little prompting. Speak to your friend. Speak to your friend. Speak to your friend. And you know what? We have a little power. At that moment, it just needs to be exercised. We already have the power. Just exercise it. And then we open our mouth, and we just fumble out something with our words. It's not cohesive. And your friend, you know, they kind of look at you, then maybe they barely understand. And then they begin to nod and say, yeah, I like what you're saying. You're like, well, I don't even know what I'm saying. Remember what I'm saying, you know? And it's so funny how that happens when you speak to someone and it's really flowing out and, you know, someone really got impressed with something. And at the end, you can't even remember what you were saying. It's like, what were you saying? I don't know what I'm saying. Because we were abiding, and the Lord had an opportunity to speak something to someone. And we felt like, wow, that was terrible, but somebody got impressed, someone got touched, someone got drawn to the Lord. Yeah. No glory for you, but glory to God. Amen. It's all about Him. Amen. So anyways, we just need to cooperate. Not in a big way, in a little way. We don't need to do so much. We don't need to show up on a campus and be this awesome organizer to be able to run a campus club. We just show up as a branch, abiding in the vine, rendering Him a little cooperation. Was there a club on the campus before you got there? There wasn't a club on the campus. There wasn't a club. Was there a club on the campus when you left? There was, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And I believe there's a good number of people there. And I don't think Stephen can take that much credit, right? No, it was a coordination and effort in the body. And I think Stephen, in his spirit, he said he just felt like he didn't do that much. And we don't need to do that much many times. So A says, to abide in the Lord means there is no insulation or distance between us and Him. There is nothing between us and the Lord. So this is a point here. I'd just like to read something just small to you all from the ministry. It's by Watchman Nee. And it says this. That word insulation, you know, kind of refers to like if you have like a copper wire that kind of conducts electricity, you know, people who are engineers or whatever field they study these kind of things in know better, physics. You know, there's a copper wire, and you connect them, and then electricity flows, right? And then if you put a thin piece of paper, am I right, in between the two wires, it stops that conducting of the electricity. Is that right? That's right. And you know what? That's in the ministry, right? Yeah, that's right. You know, it doesn't take much for that flow to stop. And as branches, that's what we are, right? Brother Elijah, what are you? Branch. What are you, brother? A branch, amen. Just like all of us, we're all just branches, right? Branches in the vine. What do we depend? You know what that verse says? The Lord said, abide in me and I in you as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. So don't think you're going to go on campus and do something for the Lord to bear fruit, you know, by yourself. He says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. He said, you can't do anything anyway. You need me as a branch. What do I need from you? Abide in me. That's it. Just let that life juice flow. But sometimes what will happen, the life's flowing, and then something will happen that becomes a source of insulation, and the flow stops. As a fact, we're still a branch in the vine, but in our experience, we got cut off from that supply. And so what's the problem? Now we need to deal with something. There's that thin piece of paper between us and the Lord, insulating us from that flow and from that fellowship. And no matter how much Christian activity we engage in at that point when there's this, nothing matters. You might have been abiding previously before this point. Let's say the flow was there, you weren't doing much, and then you get this, and then there's the insulation. And the flow stops. And you're like, you know what? Now I'm going to do a whole bunch of activity. You know what's going to happen? It's really just not going to be a very good thing. It's really going to be something that the Lord is not going to bless. Because as a branch, it's going to have nothing to do with the vine. Because there's insulation. And that flow, that insulation needs to be removed. So the flow can resume. And that life juice could be present again. And there can be the possibility of the fruit. So, however small a matter, you know, this in this ministry portion I was going to read, it says this. It says, Sister Margaret Barber told Watchman Nee, and he passed this on to his close associates, that a small leaf on a tree can block out the full moon from one sight. He realized that disobedience could cause the loss of God's presence. He made it his purpose to obey the Lord's will and the Lord's revelation at any cost. Big or small, we need to do this. B, it is possible to preach and still be insulated from Christ. But to have the overflow of the inner life, we must abide in the Lord. How about, brothers, you read C.
As you contact people on the campuses, you must have the deep sense and the full realization that you are abiding in the Lord. When you talk to people, you must talk to them by abiding in Him.
Sisters, D. How about together, let's read E.
We all must go to reach people, whether we have an overflow of life or
Okay, let's read the focus together, and then let's pray with our neighbor, and the brothers give us some instructions.